Welcome to another Ethical Corporation podcast. My name is Toby Webb, and podcasting today with Charles Secret, who is a member of the Robertsbridge Group, a high-level consultancy on environmental issues, and also a former director of Friends of the Earth UK. So how are you today, Charles?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Just come out of a very stimulating conversation.
Yes, we had a debate this morning, just now in fact, about sustainable agriculture in the UK and what needs to be done to try and get things moving on a more... on a more sustainable level, I suppose. You made a very interesting point about the NGO community and, I suppose, the general stakeholders in sustainable agriculture and what you felt was a possible lack of coordination. Tell us a bit more about that and what you think should be done about it.
I think when you look at any of the great issues affecting land use and agriculture in this country is to understand just how much commonality of interest and common objectives there exist between all the different players, all the different stakeholders who are involved in trying to get the best out of the British landscape, countryside, and farming in general. And that the so-called NGOs, the environmental and farming NGOs, have this enormous membership, huge budgets, thousands, literally, of staff working. And yet, they very rarely pool their resources to speak with one voice. And I think that the potential for collaboration, to be able to reach objectives like cutting carbon emissions, like providing decent livelihoods for farming, increasing wild species and habitat conservation, maintaining a prosperous rural economy, the potential for these different interest groups to come together from the farming community, from retailers, from processors, manufacturers, and from the so-called NGOs is enormous. And yet we very rarely understand what that potential is, let alone put it into action.
And so what are the blockages here? What's stopping this happening? Is it entrenched interests? Is it operations in silos? Or what are the barriers here?
We talk a lot about the way government and government departments operate in silos, almost work in parallel to each other. But I think that that occurs across civil society as well. I mean, why does it happen? You get very used to wherever you work, whoever you work for, to talking to your own people, whoever they may be. And it's in Anglo-Saxon Britain, we're very used to a sort of competitive, antagonistic way of formulating public debate. I mean, we see it classically in the Houses of Parliament, where you have, you know, government and opposition, and they tend to shout at each other. Well, if you compare the way that public debate occurs in this country with, say, more cooperative, communally oriented cultures, like in Scandinavian countries, Sweden, Norway, as well as in countries like Germany or the Netherlands, where there's a much more collaborative approach to solving common problems. I think that we can learn a lot in Anglo-Saxon Britain to do things in a more collaborative continental way. So I think that partly it's to do with the history and the ingrained approaches of our culture when it comes to realizing the common good. And I think that this is something that we do need to change. And then also, there are so-called competing interests. I mean, a farmer that has to stay in business year on year is going to have a different perspective from an NGO that has a membership that keeps it going year on year. So we have to look at the things that divide us to understand how those barriers can be overcome. But I think that the barriers are social, cultural, as well as economic and political.
So how do we overcome them in the civil society organisations around UK agriculture that we were talking about this morning? I mean, as you mentioned, and as many other people mentioned in our discussion with PepsiCo this morning and other stakeholders, there's a lot of violent agreement about what needs to be done, and a lot of overlapping areas of mission and desire among these organisations. So what needs to happen, in your view, to get this coordination much more effective, particularly given today, 20th of October 2010, the other CSR, the spending review, is going to mean that, you know, we're going to need a lot more collaboration. So, I mean, what needs to happen?
there's a lot of violent agreement. That's a fantastic phrase. And I think that, you know, in a sense, it just needs some people from each side brave enough to start the conversation, to understand that when you're looking at cutting carbon emissions from the farmed landscape, which is, as farmers themselves say, they want to do. Why do they want to do it? Because they want to cut down on their energy costs as well as be good citizens and farm sustainably. We know we've got lots of problems coming with maintaining water resources, water quality, water, enough water for the type of agriculture that we need to produce more food. Again, common cause that can be made there. So just beginning the conversation is one thing. I think a second thing is to appreciate just how many technologies already exist to help the farming community and farmers have decent livelihoods based on strong incomes, but that also achieve very desirable environmental goals and objectives, which as a society we have to achieve across the board, whether it's in energy or transportation or urban development, as much as in the rural economy. And when you look at the different organisations, from the NFU to the environmental organisations to the academics working on this, and indeed to stated government policy, one can see the commonalities. So I think, as someone else said in the debate that we've been having, the most important thing is to begin. Not only begin the conversation, but begin identifying what those common objectives are, what the technologies and the processes and the systems that can deliver on those targets, those sustainability targets, environmental, economic, and social, and then start putting them into practice. And I think that one of the points that several of us were trying to make is that when those interests come together, we create a critical mass of farmers, producers, retailers, processors, consumer organizations, and environmental groups that speaking with one voice, saying this is the way forward, this is the route map that can be designed to get us from where we are to where we want to get to, that government then will find that impossible to ignore. And government will start putting in place the type of regulatory frameworks, tax incentives, public spending priorities, which can help the sector deliver what it needs to, that farmers want and need as much as everybody else. In a sense, it's making democracy work more efficiently and effectively for these common good goals that create a diverse, prosperous, bountiful, and environmentally productive, diverse, and beautiful landscape. That's what we've managed to achieve so far in Britain. We've got to keep it going. The challenges are great. The time to change is short, but by coming together, we can create that critical mass that means that we can achieve what we set out to do.
Charles Secret, thank you very much.